You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Tuesday episode. Tuesday is your show. Tuesday is where I take listener questions. Whatever you guys want to get into is what we will get into. What's on your mind? Now 5-8 season for the 49ers heading into week 15. This football season has been extremely different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where most of these questions will come from. We'll try to hit some emails as well. LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. But it's always much more likely to get a short tweet onto the show than a long email. And if you missed out today, tomorrow, Nick Winkler, my guest, another Winky Wednesday podcast. Who knows what we'll get into? Things can take unexpected turns when Nick and I get together on Wednesday shows. Try to hit a couple more questions on Winky Wednesday as well. Let's get rolling with your questions. Here's an interesting one that I hadn't really thought about. Of all the free agents for the 49ers, the one that nobody's really talking about is Kyle Juszczyk. Daniel says, hi to you and little Leo. Thank you very much. Leo currently napping while I do this podcast. Do you see 2021 season without Juice? Under our financials, I don't think we can keep him as the top paid fullback. That's a really good question, because just right off the bat, you think Kyle Juszczyk, oh yeah, fullback, they're going to re-sign him. Fullbacks aren't usually that expensive, and he's been a pretty important part of Kyle Shanahan's offense, and there's a reason Kyle Shanahan paid twice as much for Kittle as any other fullback in the NFL. But now, considering what the salary cap could look like and the crunch the 49ers could find themselves in, when they're trying to re-sign some players, does it make sense to pay twice as much for your fullback as any other team in the league pays their fullback? And I think the answer would be no. And as important as he is in some of the big plays he makes, is he that integral? Does he have that much of a skill set that can't be replaced by another player, a cheap or free, essentially, fullback? Will he take a little bit less? Is this a season where he's not going to get what he got before anyway? He's not going to get that level above everybody else. Even if the 49ers bring him back, and Kyle Shanahan wants him back, right? Kyle Shanahan's going to try to get him back, and I'm sure John Lynch is going to do his best to try to bring Kyle Juszczyk back for Kyle Shanahan. Maybe the best thing to do for him is say, look, come back to us, go see what you can get on the free agent market, and come back to us, because I don't think he's going to get that big of a deal elsewhere this particular offseason. Maybe it's a one-year deal. Maybe they are able to work out something. I just don't think they can pay him at an extremely high level because, again, he's still a fullback. And if you're making hard decisions, that's just one of the positions that I think you would have to accept that you can't pay top and over the top of the market money to. And Juszczyk definitely makes some plays that other fullbacks in the league can't make. But the percentage of snaps that he's on the field, which is a lot compared to the league, but still not as often as, you know, you have a tailback on the field, or as often as you have a tight end, or as often as you have a wide receiver on the field, even in Kyle Shanahan's offense, who uses the fullback as much as anybody. And you think about some of the plays he's made that a lot of fullbacks in the league probably can't make. There's been a handful, but other times Kyle Shanahan is leaking him wide open where there's not a defender within 20 yards. Like, he could get another fullback to do that as long as that player can catch, right? And maybe you could even find another fullback who's a little bit better blocker than Juszczyk and doesn't have as much flexibility as a receiver or some of those things. He rarely carries the ball. So you might be able to get a better blocker that you pay a lot less, that's not as much of a factor in the passing game, but that you can still leak out and he'll catch a ball when he's wide open. You know, maybe that's the way to play this, and it's tough. And the 49ers are going to have to make a ton of tough decisions, and Kyle Juszczyk is absolutely one of those. And even though his the number he'll get paid, even for a fullback twice as much as market value, is still not crazy high, so maybe they can bring him back no matter what, but maybe that means they can't bring back a player at a more position. You know, like, I'm not going to sign Juszczyk and to a deal that makes it so I can't pay a corner, you know, or an offensive tackle or something like that. I guess that's the best way to put it when it comes to Juice. And when it comes to some of the contracts the 49ers have signed guys to at the beginning of the Shanahan-Lynch era, there were players that were overpaid, but the Niners had a ton of cap space. So it didn't matter if they overpaid a fullback. It didn't matter if they overpaid Jerick McKinnon or Marquise Goodwin, even though, you know, the opportunity of maybe signing a better player, if you, you know, maybe you sign Allen Robinson instead of those guys combined, you know, something like that would have made a lot of sense. But just as far as paying those guys too much, it didn't have a factor on the cap because the Niners had a ton of cap space. But now that they don't have a ton of cap space, they can't screw around and make really stupid signings and sign people who aren't going to make a big impact for a lot more money than they should. Just because you know a guy and like a guy and maybe have played with him or coached him in the past, that's not enough anymore to dole out free agent dollars to players. A simple question here from Peon715 on Twitter. He says, what's our biggest draft need? And I got a little bit of pushback when I did a quick little three-round mock draft after the 49ers lost to Washington because I thought that was a clear delineation in time of, look, playoffs, done. To me, like the 49ers, even if they win out, 8-8 is not going to get you in. So 49ers playoff push is done, I think, for the 2020 season. I think that's realistically where we're at, which means, you know, it's draft season. And throughout my first mock draft, I just went to draftnetwork.com, who are great folks and have a cool little draft simulator there. And I drafted three rounds for the 49ers. I decided to stay pat, see who fell at pick 12 for the Niners. And it was quarterback Trey Lance from North Dakota State, who has all the tools in the world, only started for one season plus one game this year. And, you know, there's some questions there. That's why he's probably there at 12 and maybe not a top 10 pick, even though physically he deserves to be near the top of the draft. And we'll see how this all shakes out. But I thought, you know, that would be really fun for Kyle Shanahan, whether or not they bring back Jimmy Garoppolo. I would like to see them add just some dynamic ability, arm, athleticism to the quarterback room. So that was my thinking there. And then I went with a cornerback in round two, and I went with an edge rusher in round three. And I think that is, to me, 1, 2, 3. And by the way, the 49ers, I know, don't have a third round pick. I traded up from round four to get into round three because I wanted more of a impact edge rusher there. So that's how the 49ers got a third rounder in that little mock draft I did. And, you know, just for fun. And we'll do a ton of mock drafts, talk a ton of draft throughout the season and specific prospects and break them all down here on Locked On 49ers. But to answer Peon's question, biggest draft need to me is quarterback. It's the most important position in sports. Figure out quarterback. They've got to improve the quarterback room. Even if they decide to bring back Jimmy Garoppolo, they've got to get better backups. They got to get a better number two, especially, and a better number three, right? So I think only one of the three quarterbacks currently on the roster will be back next year. And if it's not Jimmy G, maybe they bring back Mullins to be a stopgap player or to, you know, to push a rookie. Maybe it's C.J. Beathard and they bring in a couple other guys and Beathard's just, you know, number three on the depth chart. But, you know, and maybe they only keep two out of training camp next year. Who knows? But I think they are going to have needs there, whether it's backup, starter, or someone who's, a 1B to Garoppolo's 1A that is a rookie that pushes him. So quarterback, number one to me, you figure it out. You have to figure it out in the NFL. Everything else on your roster is going to look a lot better if you get quarterback figured out. Quarterback number one, corner is number two. The 49ers are going to be really low on numbers, so they'll need future starters at the position. Even if you roll into the season with Verrett and Mosley, they'll have nobody behind those guys. So you need depth and future starting caliber players at corner. So if you don't go quarterback in round one, I think corner would be the smart place to put your money. And then edge rusher. I even talked about, this is something that's not surprising to me. And if you listen to the show, you know, during draft season last year, I thought defense, even after DeForest Buckner was traded, I thought defensive end was more important to the 49ers than defensive tackle because you could see that D Ford wasn't going to be somebody who was going to be reliable long term. And I think the edge rush is just more impactful than interior defensive linemen. And the 49ers had a bunch of tweeners that could come in and rush, and Eric Armstead, we're seeing it now. Eric Armstead should be mostly inside rather than mostly outside. But since you have a bunch of tackles, now he's playing outside and he's not impacting as much as a pass rusher. And that's not to say anything against Javon Kinlaw, who I think is going to be a really good player. I just value edge players more unless you are a complete stud disruptive tackle where there's not many of those guys in the NFL. So edge rusher was going to already be a need, and it's pretty clear that it's going to be a need again. They need some speed. They need some juice off the edge. So I have edge above the offensive line. And that was the pushback I got when I tweeted out that mock draft, is people were like, offensive line, it's got to be a guard. It's got to be an interior lineman. I'm thinking, well, yes, the 49ers need to upgrade offensive line, but you get a better quarterback, the line's going to play better. You're going to be in better down and distance situations. The offensive line's going to have more of a chance to run block rather than, you know, pass block on third and tens all the time. So the offensive line needs to get better. Quarterback will help that a little bit, but those things go hand in hand. It's not always on the quarterback. It's not always on the offensive line. There's been a lot of arguments today I've seen on Twitter about that, and it's like, it's both. That's the only answer is it's both. It's not just the quarterback. It's not just the offensive line. And depending on the play, it's probably more on one than the other. But interior offensive lineman is not something you have to spend first-round draft picks on. You can, and you can find stud players there, but just draft and develop smart, tough football players and coach them up. You could spend, you know, lower free agent dollars on an interior offensive lineman than you can on an offensive tackle or on an edge player or a corner or a quarterback. Like, and that's why QB, CB, DE, those are the highest paid positions in the NFL for a reason. And those are the hardest to find really good ones on the free agent market. So you got to draft them. You got to develop them. And you get a really cheap rookie contract player at that position. So that's why, to me, those three positions are well above offensive line when it comes to the NFL draft this year. And that's not to say they need to ignore offensive line. They should definitely, on day three, be attacking that position, try to find more Colton McKivitzes, right? And see if they can find some cheap young starting or depth pieces along the offensive line. Quarterback. Quarterback is the number one need on every team in the NFL until they have that completely right. Like, right. Not just, we're pretty good there. No, get it right. It's number one. More of your questions coming up, Locked On 49ers. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. Let's go to KP here, because here's a name that I think is going to get 49ers fans excited, but it's just not going to happen. My apologies, KP. He says, trade a first and second next year for Aaron Rodgers this offseason. Rodgers is just not going to be available, just period. He's not going to. With the season he's had this year, and I know they drafted a first-round quarterback in Jordan Love, but he's just not going to be available. And even if he was, it's much more difficult because of his contract situation until 2022. So if you're eyeballing Aaron Rodgers, that would probably be a scenario where the Niners keep Jimmy Garoppolo, try it one more time, don't really spend a lot of resources on quarterback in 2022. Maybe if Jordan Love proves he's ready to take over and Aaron Rodgers says he wants to move on or something like that, a lot of stars would have to align. Then maybe I could see a marriage between Aaron Rodgers and the 49ers. But the earliest that's going to happen is 2022. Slot Right LLC says, two questions. One, thoughts on Chris Sims saying Niners should get Carson Wentz? He is best friends with Shanny. Is he telegraphing something here? Two, it's never discussed, but we're awful on special teams. Do we draft for this need? The second one, yes, you always draft for special teams, but that's, you know, a late day three thing. You talk to your special teams coach, you find someone who looks like they're going to be a really good gunner who could potentially be a reserve safety or something for you like that, which is also a need for the 49ers. I would not be shocked at all if the 49ers drafted a safety who could be a special teams demon early in his career for the Niners late on day three, you know, maybe round five, six, seven, something like that. So yes, you keep an eye on special teams, and the 49ers spent a fourth round draft pick, much to my chagrin, on Mitch Wishnowsky, on a punter. So if they're going to spend a fourth round pick on a punter, they spent a lot of money on Robbie Gould. They value special teams and they'll put resources there. I think it may be too many resources in some cases, particularly a fourth round pick on a punter. That's never going to fly with me personally, with the way I think teams should be built. But yes, they should definitely continue. And you know, a wide receiver like Richie James. I like Richie James. And if you listen to the show, you know I love Richie James. I would like to see him more involved on offense. And you could see when he got a bunch of targets in one game, he put up some stats. But he's a better receiver than a kick returner. So I think the 49ers kind of have it backwards. You know, they should utilize him more on offense and less as a kick return guy because he's been pretty darn average as a return guy. So, yeah, they should be continually looking for special teams players. And I'm guessing you're thinking more about a returner here, in which case, yeah, again, day three, wide receiver, someone who, or a running back, wide receiver, someone like that on day three who could be a player. And I could see the 49ers, Jerick McKinnon potentially moving on, Tevin Coleman moving on, needing some depth at running back. Day three, find that running back who's maybe a scat back, maybe he's a good receiver, someone who could work on offense on third downs, but not really be, you know, a main running back type of player. Also return kicks, a player like that, you know, maybe a running back slash wide receiver type of player, someone with some versatility. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the 49ers went in that direction on day three of the draft. Just don't do it in round one or two. The first part of that, Chris Sims saying Niners should get wins. I don't really put a ton of stock into what Chris Sims says. He has to say a lot for a long time every day. And so, you know, and I know he's friends with Kyle Shanahan. If anything, if I was going to read anything into that with him telegraphing something, that's that Kyle Shanahan is going to take a look at the quarterback position in the offseason. Not necessarily that Carson Wentz would be the guy they look at. And Carson Wentz has a lot of guarantees left on his contract. So you're going to end up paying Wentz more than Garoppolo. And you're going to have to give up a draft pick. Is that going to be worth it? What kind of draft pick do you give up a guy that you're taking on that much salary? So you would have to think that he would be a clear upgrade. And I'm not sure there's evidence to say that right now with Carson Wentz. A year ago, I would have said, yeah, that would be something that makes sense. But right now, who knows, it might not cost anything because it might be the one opportunity that the Eagles have to get out from under his contract. Because there's a window of a couple days that they can trade for him, according to overthecap.com, that there's a bonus in there on the third day of the league year. So they could potentially trade him. And if they don't, then there's more guarantees that kick in. And then, you know, maybe 2022. Again, there's, you know, Matt Ryan's in the same boat, Carson Wentz, Aaron Rodgers, all their contracts are relatively recent and the teams can't really save any cap money and would take a huge cap hit, in fact, to get rid of them before 2022, with the one exception before the third day of the league year. I think the Eagles could trade Carson Wentz. The 49ers don't have a ton of cap space to take him on. I think a team like the Patriots or the Colts would be much more likely. You know, put him back with his old offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, in Indianapolis. I think that's the one that makes the most sense to me for Carson Wentz. Pale Complexion on Twitter, also known as Draft Season. Yeah, see, he knows it's draft season. That's what's going on for the 49ers right now. Getting a lot more draft questions as well. Doing more and more homework on prospects. He says, your choice of quarterback for next year, that includes Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, or Jimmy Garoppolo. Who are you rolling with? For me, that question is very easy to answer, and that would be Zach Wilson, BYU quarterback. I think he would be the highest on my list as far as non-Trevor Lawrence prospects in the draft. At quarterback, I think he would fit right in with what Kyle Shanahan does. And you're talking about if you hit on that player who is extremely talented, has all the arm talent you need, potentially an upgrade at quarterback that's on a rookie contract allows you to flexibility to do other things on your roster. So to me, when you're talking about resources spent, ceiling for the player, how long you would win if you hit on that first round quarterback, Zach Wilson is the easy answer for me between all of those players. And I actually have a little list I'm working on right now that ranks rookie quarterbacks, veteran quarterbacks, free agents, trade options all together and ranks them all in order, shuffles the rookies with the veterans. And I'm still working on it. So at some point this offseason, when the season's over, we'll do an episode where I rank potential 49ers quarterbacks in 2021 and beyond. Finish up the quarterback conversation here and dive deeper into one specific player. Scott wants to know, is Stafford the solution moving forward? I think he's one option. First of all, he would have to be available. And what's it going to cost? So if you're the 49ers and you're drafting in the middle of round one, the top four clear first round talent quarterbacks, if it turns out to be that that's, you know, what the evaluation is, there's four quarterbacks, they're all gone. You're on the clock. You couldn't really trade up. is Stafford the best option then for you? And it would probably take that first round pick. And it would probably have to be done before the draft. So this is more of a scenario where you'd have to play it out in your mind and see like, okay, look, do we like these rookie quarterbacks? Do we think one's going to be there? Do we think we'll be able to trade up to get one? Or would it be smarter to utilize this draft capital to go get Matthew Stafford and then maybe see if you get another later pick back for Jimmy Garoppolo? Let's say the Patriots could be involved with Stafford too, but let's say the Patriots want to come to you for Jimmy Garoppolo and give you a third round pick. So now you have Stafford that you used your first round pick on, and then you have your regular second round pick, and now you have a third round pick from New England that you traded Garoppolo for. Is that a better scenario than drafting a quarterback in round one? And you'll have to make that decision before draft day, most likely. So a lot of interesting questions there. Unless maybe the Lions say, you know, are picking ahead of the Niners, and they're in a situation where they're like, well, let's see what's there for us on draft day. Maybe we draft the quarterback if the right guy's there, then dangle Matthew Stafford. I doubt the timing would work out that way for either franchise. I'm sure whatever coach and GM are hired in Detroit will have a clear plan, whether it's we're going ahead with Stafford or let's trade Stafford, get that first rounder and move on and rebuild this thing. So one of those things I'm sure will have already happened before draft day. Stafford is a really interesting option. Of the veteran options out there, trade and free agent, I think he probably is the most potentially actually available and could be an upgrade and is an extremely interesting option for the 49ers potentially. I would take Stafford over Wentz with what I know today. It'll cost more in trade to get Stafford though, which is also a factor. So there's just a ton of things, and that's why it's really hard for me to build this list I've been working on, because you have to factor in the cost of doing business. What resources do you have to put toward the quarterback that you end up with, both draft picks and money? And Stafford would be one of the most expensive as far as draft picks plus money, because you're giving up a first and he's not going to be cheap, even though he doesn't have an outrageous salary for a quarterback. Let's talk a little bit more O-line coming up and some other draft prospects, some cover guys to finish up this Locked On 49ers mailbag. Are you hitting a wall? Are you exhausted with the 2020 49ers season or the year entirely? Or just today, you need a pick-me-up? Well, you can break through your wall with Built Go. Whether it's a mental wall, a physical wall, break through it with Go every day. It's a small packet, 1.5 ounces, very easy to take. Put it in your glove compartment, in your pocket, in your backpack, in your briefcase, in your golf bag to power through the back nine. And Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like an energy drink without the same crash of his over-sugared beverage, and it's good for you. It's natural. It's better for your body. Three delicious flavors of Built Go: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. They are filled with protein, collagen protein specifically, because it's fast absorbing, gets in your system fast, and it's easy on the stomach. Beta alanine, B vitamins, honey, and a little kick of caffeine. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That is promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. To Tony on Twitter, he says, early draft scouting, can you rank the following cornerbacks with NFL pedigree? Asante Samuel Jr., J.C. Horn, and Patrick Surtain II. Which of these guys is best suited to shutting down DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins? Yeah, that's, you know, the 49ers have to go up against some pretty darn good wide receivers multiple times every year, and there's a ton of good wide receivers on just about every roster in the NFL. Asante Samuel, of course, Asante Samuel's kid. Patrick Surtain II is Patrick Surtain I's kid, and J.C. Horn is Joe Horn's kid. Better suited for DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins? I would say J.C. Horn, because he's got better size than the others, and I think he could match up a little bit better with DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins. The guy I would really want for the 49ers, if they did go corner in round one, is Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. I don't believe his dad played in the NFL, but I think he's the best combination of length and athleticism. And the other thing, when it comes to April, it might look a lot different on defense for the 49ers, depending on if Robert Saleh gets a job elsewhere. What kind of scheme are the 49ers going to be running? Are they going to want those long, lengthy cover three type corners? Are they going to want more smaller, quicker man type corners? They might, you know, because Asante Samuel Jr. might be a little bit better fit, a smaller, more athletic cover guy. than J.C. Horn, who's, you know, longer, stronger type of a corner. So there's a lot of questions, even though I think, you know, Horn could man up on people as well. You have to be able to man up if you're a first-round caliber athlete at corner. So there's a lot of questions there. I have to do a lot more work on those guys, but just initial impressions from watching them, I'd probably, for the 49ers, rank them Caleb Farley, then it would be Patrick Surtain Jr., the second, excuse me, J.C. Horn, then Asante Samuel Jr. All potential first-round draft picks, I'd throw Sean Wade from Ohio State in there, and Asante Samuel's the only one that's sub 6 feet as far as listed heights and weights go. We'll find out what they look like at the combine, if there is a combine. I still don't know how that's going to work. But a lot to shake out and a lot to go through and a lot more work to be done by me on these draft prospects in 2021. Jesus wants to know, what is the point for the rest of the season? That's a good question, Jesus. It can't be talent evaluation. I think it's clear 49ers need O-line help, the quarterback room settled, and for Christ's sake, figure out how to keep your staff healthy. Yeah, you know, health is a tough one. The 49ers changed their strength and conditioning staff a couple years ago because they didn't like how many injuries there were going on. It's just bad luck. I don't really know what to point to with that. When it comes to the roster, there's still some evaluation to be done. I think maybe one more look at Jimmy Garoppolo would be beneficial to everybody involved. And I agree, the 49ers need to figure something out on the offensive line. They should be playing better than they are. On paper, they're a better offensive line than they've been performing. I think part of that's on the quarterback, part of that's on their play. Should assistant coaches be unnoticed? Offensive line coaching staff? And the Niners need to take a hard look at themselves. Are they drafting too many players with injury risks or putting too much emphasis into players that they thought are going to get healthy and turned out were not? Like the Weston Richburg one, he was hurt late in the season. It was a bad injury. And they're like, oh, he's going to be ready for training camp. Really? Are you sure with that injury? Ronald Blair, setback. He hasn't played all year. So they have to look at everything, how they're evaluating the injuries, how the injuries are being treated. And are they being too optimistic when it comes to players that are either already hurt before they bring them into the organization or were hurt while they're playing for the 49ers and their expectations for those players going into the following years? D Ford, another big one. If they're banking on big years from D Ford and Weston Richburg, that's on them because that shouldn't have happened. Let's go to Paul. And apologies in advance, Paul, because I'm not sure if I can fully answer this question. He says, wanted to get your thoughts on the 49ers quarterback coach. Over the last few years, it's become apparent that positional coaches have a significant role to play in a team's success. Is it time to question the 49ers quarterback coach? It's a great question. I wish I had more of an answer. It's really hard to know. And I mentioned earlier, 49ers offensive line coach. Should John Benton, should his job be? You know, Chris Forster's been an offensive line coach in the year, and now he's one of the assistants there as well on the offensive line. 49ers quarterback coach, has there really been a drop-off? We've seen the quarterback play get worse the last couple of years for the 49ers. Rich Scangarello, was he really the guy that was driving that? And to me, it's not about the 49ers quarterback coach, it's about Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's in charge of these coaches. He is the number one quarterback's coach. So either he has to figure something out or he has to figure out the coaching staff underneath him. If the quarterback coach he feels is not doing a great job, then yes, the 49ers should make a change. But it's really hard for me sitting here, and I understand the question, and I understand why you would question some of the assistant coaches on the 49ers, some particular groups like quarterback and offensive line in particular. But it's just really impossible for me to answer because I don't know day to day what's going on there. So you can't evaluate. The only thing you can evaluate is the play on the field. And there should absolutely be some hard questions asked and some evaluation, some self-scouting happening in the 49ers building this offseason for sure. To John on Twitter, should the 49ers consider Gardner Minshew to bring in to challenge or push Jimmy Garoppolo, replacing one of the backups? Yes and no. I think, you know, if you can get Minshew on the very cheap to be the backup that potentially could give you a little bit more, yes. I don't know that that's enough. I don't know that Garoppolo plus Minshew suddenly really changes the outlook for the 49ers all that much. I'm not against Minshew. What is it going to cost to get him is the question. If he was cheap or free, yes. And there's a lot of players I'd put into that category. We're like, yeah, cheap or free as backup quarterback. And, you know, maybe who knows, you get lucky, he gives you more. Sure. But I'm not going out of my way to try to add Gardner Minshew as someone who's going to be an answer to what ails the 49ers. Try to hit some more of these really quickly. A lot of questions on quarterbacks. Let's go to Desi Dez. He says, hear me out. Jimmy G and possibly our first rounder this year, for Deshaun Watson. It gives a mobile quarterback who's smart and ready to win with our super talented team. Unfortunately, Houston is going to shoot that offer down, I think, very quickly, and I would jump on that to trade Jimmy and a first for Deshaun Watson. I don't think that Houston's going to trade Deshaun Watson for anything, and if they were, I think they would ask for a lot more than that from the 49ers. And I know a lot of people want to save Deshaun Watson from Houston, me included, and maybe Deshaun Watson himself, but that's just something that's not going to happen. Money Train on Twitter, MTB Pod 20 says, what do you think the most likely quarterback situation is heading into training camp next season? I believe we'll draft a quarterback in the second or third round and bring Jimmy back. Hard to imagine Kyle and Lynch drafting a quarterback without a win now quarterback in place. I agree with you 100%. The most likely scenario is Jimmy Garoppolo is back, and they put a lot of faith in him last year. There is enough of an excuse of injury and a lot of things that went wrong this year for the 49ers to try to have revenge tour 2021, right? Revenge tour part two next year for the 49ers, and get Kittle back and get Nick Bosa back and have Jimmy Garoppolo healthy and try to make a run again. I think it's probably the most likely. And I agree, especially with the second part of that, a win now quarterback in place, like some sort of a veteran. The salary cap is the only thing that I think this offseason might change the trajectory of what Kyle and John would have normally done, and give them no choice but to say, look, and it depends on where they're drafting and what they think about the rookie crop of quarterbacks. If they're in a position to say, okay, look, we could sign a very cheap veteran stopgap quarterback, trade Jimmy Garoppolo, that would give us a little extra mid-round draft pick or whatever they could get for Jimmy G, and save $20 million to sign some other players and draft a first-round quarterback, I think they would have to consider it. I don't think it's the most likely scenario. And they have to figure out the quarterback thing first. And that's the problem, is they have to figure out veteran quarterback. Who's that going to be? Is it Jimmy or somebody else? They have to figure that out before the draft. They're not going to know exactly who's going to be available when they're on the clock yet, which leads me to believe it's going to be a lot more of a win now quarterback situation, Jimmy or otherwise, in 2021, most likely. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, we already know, they are a couple of competitive dudes, and they are win-now guys. That's what they did last year. That's most likely what they will continue to do. They will be aggressive, and maybe that means they'll be aggressive to go get their quarterback up high, because that's the direction they think the franchise could go and could still win them games now and for the foreseeable future. But that would probably mean that Kyle Shanahan quickly fell in love with a quarterback prospect when he starts evaluating film in January. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for everyone for getting involved. Apologies if I did not get to your question. We'll hit a couple more tomorrow on Winky Wednesday right here, Locked On 49ers.